near I-55 and Union Road, and you'll feel better for it.
Hi, this is Jim McMillan from the Inside Out Show, and I've got news. Fall is the very best time to feed your lawn, and why? Because the proper nutrition will encourage better root growth, disease resistance, winter hardiness, and kick your lawn off to a better start next spring. Fertilome Winterizer Lawn Food does just that. I've told you about the other Fertilome products because they really work, and they work hard. Fertilome Winterizer Lawn Food does too. So why not do your lawn a favor and try some Fertilome Winterizer this fall? Believe me, I've tried them all and always come back to Fertilome. Stop by your independent lawn and garden dealer and look for the Fertilome name. By golly, you'll just love what Winterizer does for your lawn. And it does it longer than most foods because of its special formulation. Fall is the very best time to feed your lawn. Fertilome Winterizer Lawn Food does just that. Go get some. Fertilome Winterizer Lawn Food.
Hi, I'm Susanna Danforth, the owner of Breeze Blow Dry Bar, a blow-dry-only hair salon in the heart of Ladue. I invite you to breeze in and experience the affordable indulgence that's sweeping the nation. Choose from our menu of 8 styles, or leave your look in the capable hands of our trained stylists. Shampoo and champagne are always included in our beautiful, relaxing space. We are now open every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Breeze is just off Highway 40 on Clayton Road in Lester's Plaza in Ladue. Call us at 314-692-BLOW or check us out online at breezeblowdrybar.com.
Get free hot breakfast and free internet at Choice Hotels. Stay for business at Choice Hotels and book now at choicehotels.com. Amenities vary by location.
This is the Friday edition of the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Oreck, the place to go for vacuum cleaners in this town. Every one of their stores locally owned and operated. And in each of those stores, you can ask about the newest in the Oreck line, the Magnesium RS Vacuum Cleaner. O-R-E-C-K is how you spell Oreck. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. And joining us now to talk about movies and showbiz stuff, Mr. Colin Jeffrey. Colin, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I said Frank. How are you, Paul?
How are you? I'm fine, Joe.
I'm sorry.
Oh!
Yeah, that's right. I can take it out if I need to and use it. What? What is he talking about? Good thing these internal dialogues aren't getting heard publicly. I'd be in a lot of trouble. There are three big movies opening this weekend. You've got The Good Lie, Annabelle, and Gone Girl. And you are our box office expert. You can always tell us what movie is going to be biggest at the box office every weekend. So whichever one of those three you say it'll be, that's the movie we'll start with.
Well, I think it's going to be tight between one and two.
Okay. What do you think will be number one?
I'm going to say Gone Girl.
Really?
That's tough to say, but I'm going to say it. And the reason it's so close, Annabelle's a prequel to The Conjuring. That brought home $42 million in its opening weekend last year. So that's a pretty big fan base. But Gone Girl has pretty high star power, and the reviews were out earlier, and it got, by and large, good reviews.
Well, there we go.
Let's hear yours.
I saw it last night, and I will tell you, I went with my wife, who read the book. She was one of the 52 million Americans who apparently read this book, Gone Girl, and so she was really looking forward to it. But she had some trepidation, because when you love a book, you want the movie to be at least as good as the book and not ruin it for you. I'll tell you in a moment how it ended. The movie stars Ben Affleck as a guy who has been living in New York with his wife, who's played by Rosamund Pike, but they have to move back here to Missouri because his mom has cancer and they want to come and take care of her, so they leave New York City, where they both have jobs, and they move to the fictional town of North Carthage, Missouri. The Missouri portions of the movie were filmed at Cape Girardeau.
South Missouri.
Well, North Carthage.
North Carthage.
Yes. Yeah, that's the name of the town that they live in. The wife, Rosamund Pike's character, disappears on their fifth anniversary. Not their fifth anniversary of coming home, but their fifth wedding anniversary. And their marriage has been going through a rough time. But he has no idea what happened to her. But he's not outwardly really, really upset about it. He's a kind of cool, calm guy who nothing seems to really drive him crazy. And she was very similar in that way. So the cops start investigating, and they begin to think that perhaps he had something to do with her disappearance. Perhaps he even killed her. Perhaps he killed her and tossed her body somewhere. They don't know where the body is or if there is a body and whether it's alive or dead or anything. And then cable news gets into the act, and there's a Nancy Grace-like character named Ellen Abbott, who's played by an actress named Missy Pyle. She does a terrific job in this. And that Nancy Grace-like character helps turn this thing into a witch hunt about Ben Affleck's character. Early on, he is brought down to the police station, and he's questioned by the detective who is investigating this crime, who's played by an actress named Kim Dickens. Here's a little bit of that.
So, your wife has no friends here. Is she kind of standoffish? Ivy League, rubs people the wrong way?
She's from New York. She's complicated. She's got very high standards.
Type A? Well, that can make you crazy if you're not like that. You seem pretty laid back. Type B. Speaking of which, Amy's blood type.
God, I don't know. I have to look it up at the house.
You don't know if she has friends. You don't know what she does all day. And you don't know your wife's blood type.
Sure, y'all are married.
I maybe it's type O.
Where are her folks? New York?
Yeah.
Can they get here in time for this press conference tomorrow?
Tomorrow? I have no idea. I haven't talked to them.
You haven't called your wife's parents
yet? I mean, you can't get a signal in this building. I've been in here talking to you.
Well, call them, please, Nick, now.
So she's obviously suspicious of him. And by the way, the other voice in there was the other cop who's working with the detective, played by Patrick Fugit, who you'll never remember this, but remember a movie called Almost Famous that Cameron Crowe made about 20 yeah. years ago, mm-hmm. about a 15-year-old guy who eventually grew up to be Cameron Crowe? And yeah,
it's an incendiary movie.
Yeah, Kate Hudson's first movie, yeah. right. That's that guy, now grown up. Okay. Doesn't look anything like that.
Can I ask a question before
yeah,
I move on?
Please.
Who in here knows their wife or significant other's blood type?
I had to ask my wife.
I would say the exact same. I know my wife is O. She's a universal donor, whatever that is.
I don't know my own blood type.
I have no clue what mine is.
So it would be really weird if I knew hers and not mine.
I do know mine, but I had to ask her what hers were. And those are the kind of conversations you're going to have after this movie. After the movie, you're also going to have some questions about it. But I think they're the good kind of questions. When you see a movie like this, it's a very suspenseful movie. And I cannot tell you anything more about the plot without giving it away, which tells you that it's a pretty good movie that goes down some very interesting paths. And it's the kind of movie you would expect from the director, David Fincher. He's the guy who helped co-create House of Cards for Netflix. He directed The Social Network and Benjamin Button and Panic Room and Fight Club and The Game and Zodiac and Seven. Mm-hmm. He is a very good, tight, suspenseful director. He knows what he's doing. The movie was written by Gillian Flynn, the woman who wrote the book. She did the screenplay. My wife read the book. She said the movie gets it right.
Oh, wow.
She was very happy with the way it turned out, and I think based on that, a lot of the 52 million people who did read the book will go see this and think it. It's also got a great cast, Neil Patrick Harris, Tyler Perry, not in a dress, surprisingly, plays a defense attorney. David Clennon, Celia Ward has a small role in it. So like I said, I had a lot of questions at the end of it. And I will say, this movie is 2.5 hours long, which is normally way too long for a movie. I didn't realize it was 2.5 hours long until we walked out of the movie theater. That's how engrossed I was in the story that was being told by Gone Girl. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Whoa. Wow.
There you go.
Hey, now I did hear, too, that Ben Affleck in this movie, they shot the movie last year when the Cardinals were in the playoffs.
Yes.
And he wore
Cardinals shirts.
Cardinals shirts in the movie.
Yep.
And so there was another movie. I think they wanted him to wear a Yankees hat.
No, it was in this movie.
It was in this movie?
I just read this morning.
And he refused.
Yeah, he had a fight with David Fincher over a baseball cap because there's one scene where he goes back to New York and he wants to evade recognition by other people, so he has a baseball cap and he pulls it down low. And David Fincher said, well, you're in New York, wear a Yankees hat. And Ben Affleck said, no.
Can't do it.
He's a big Boston Red Sox fan.
Huge. He said, David, I love you. I would do anything for you, but I will not wear a Yankees hat. I just can't. I can't wear it. It's going to become a thing, David. I will never hear the end of it. I can't do it.
Yes. And now he wore the Cardinals because The Cardinals broke the curse when the Red Sox beat the Cardinals in 04.
Oh, is that it? Right.
Sure, yeah.
Also, it takes place in Missouri, so it makes sense. But the funny thing is, after that whole thing with Affleck going, I just can't do, I can't do that for you, Fincher goes, will you wear a Mets cap?
No.
He did. No,
yeah, he did.
Yeah, he wore a Mets cap.
It's more palatable, I think, to the Red Sox fan.
So I do have to say this. If you have not read the book, which I had not, and you're a single person, and you meet somebody, and you think, well, let's go to a movie as our first date, don't choose this movie.
There you go.
In the same way that 20 years ago I would have said, you know, maybe not going to Fatal Attraction the first night. You know, just a little hint for you based on what goes on in the movie. Other than that, 9 out of 10, Gone Girl is terrific.
I think that's
I still have a lot of questions.
That's your highest review, I'd have to say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it so far.
Yeah, I really liked it. So now what do you have about Annabelle, which you think is one of the other movies?
This is the movie you should take a date to this weekend.
Okay.
This is the one. It's a scary movie. It's Halloween time. So there are all of these factors going for it. It has this huge base. So Annabelle is the prequel to last year's shocking hit, The Conjuring. Did you see The Conjuring?
No. I don't go to horror movies.
Well, that's a shame.
Okay.
The Conjuring was the story of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I always want to say Wood. Ed and Lorraine Warren. They are real-life paranormal investigators, and it was a real story of that. It was more of an exorcism horror movie. This, the main character in that, though, is this, or the main sort of bad thing, is a spirit that is from this doll that they have in their sort of hall of paranormal weird things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a vessel for a demon. It's this really creepy, creepy-looking doll. And I mean, this is the scariest doll in anything I've ever seen. This
so naturally,
is
you want to have that
Chucky.
In your home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this is the prequel to it. This is how the Annabelle doll becomes the conduit for an evil spirit. This movie starts off in sort of helter-skelter summer. They're talking about Charles Manson on TV and the murders of the Manson family.
So 67, 68, somewhere
in
there?
Yeah. I want to say they tell us 67 it starts off.
Okay.
And it starts off our two main characters. It's a lovely young couple. It starts off in church, and there's sort of this prophetic sermon. And that allows me to introduce a term that people may not know, the term Chekhov's gun. Are you familiar with this?
I think you mean Chekhov's phaser. I watched a lot of Star Trek. I think you mean phaser, don't
phaser.
You?
Phaser. Chekhov's gun. Anton Chekhov. Late 1800s, early 1900s, he actually researched plays. He was an author and researched plays.
Mm-hmm.
So when they would write them, they would have the proper research.
He was the inventor of the list. Not many people know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Chekhov list.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea, what he said, though, is nothing that appears in a play or later movie or book can exist and not be important. And so what he said is, let's say you have on a set, there's a gun hanging above the mantle. That gun, if it appears in the first act, has to come back later. And so it's popularly known, a gun in the first act means someone's getting shot in the third act.
Okay.
So keep that in mind when you see these movies. There are a handful of these Chekhov guns, and they're going to start ringing alarm bells.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so the premise is this couple, young, in love, she's pregnant. They have these older neighbors who they're very good friends with. And one night, these two satanic cult members break in and murder their next door neighbors and come over into their house and attack the two of them. And police arrive just in time to save the woman. But it's a man and woman who've broken in. And the second woman, we find out later, is the missing daughter of these next door neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
She had run away, kidnapped by a satanic cult. She dies with this doll in her arms, and blood drops into the doll, and it's possessed. Mm. It is the conduit.
Okay.
So they later move to an apartment, and creepy stuff starts happening. She has the baby. Creepy things continue to happen.
Okay, so the doll is Annabelle?
The doll is Annabelle.
Now, I got to tell you, when I first heard about this, and you told me you were going to go see this, Annabelle sounds like a nice animated movie for little girls.
Oh, no.
Apparently not.
Not at all. Do not take kids to this movie. I'm not going to say it's graphic, but...
Gory?
Not overly gory. This is sort of an old-fashioned, I'm going to make you jump. And that's That's what I have to say about it. The jumps, there's a good mix of kind of like quick flashes, sort of slow tension. There's actually, and I'm a fan of this in horror movies when you're in a sold out theater, there's some nervous laughter when things are happening and everyone starts to kind of, it sort of eases the tension. Mm-hmm. I don't like it when, you know, they take the tension to a 10 and you sit there for the rest of the movie. It allows you to kind of calm down and then they can scare you again.
Okay.
I will say it doesn't have that one scare where you'll be talking about it after you leave the theater. Oh my gosh, this made me jump out of my seat. It's a bunch of fairly good scares, but there's not that big knocks you out of your seat. So for that reason, I'm saying it's different than The Conjuring. Don't compare this. It's a different type of movie. It's not an exorcism movie. They lay out sort of some of the big twists you'll see coming well in advance. Just going to warn you, it's not going to have that twist. But all in all, I liked it. And it's beginning of October. I'm a huge fan of horror movies. Go see this if you want to be scared. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. Hmm. And I think it's going to duke it out with Gone Girl for that top spot. I think The Equalizer falls out. But, I mean, come on. The Equalizer had the fourth largest opening in September ever.
Right.
$35 million. I mean, so Denzel Washington, we were talking about it last week. Denzel can still do it. $35 million.
And it also answers the question, why does Denzel do movies like that, which I didn't think were all that. I mean, I did not like it, as you may remember from last week. And the answer is because he can open a movie for $35 million, even a stinker.
In September.
Yeah.
Here's something I came across. I was looking at sort of box office numbers for September. One of the, so Equalizer's the fourth highest opening. Guess what's right ahead of it?
No idea. Sweet Home Alabama.
Reese Witherspoon.
Really?
No idea. That was something weird. But, you know, Annabelle, it's a good way to start the horror movies for the holiday, Halloween season.
And a good segue, because the next movie has Reese Witherspoon in it. The movie is called The Good Lie. It is based on the true story of refugees from the Sudan in the late 1990s, when there was a horrible civil war there, which eventually led to Sudan losing half of its own country. There's the new country of South Sudan that's come into being in the last 18 months. These military thugs were essentially going through the country, and they'd come upon a small village, and they would just kill all the adults, burn the huts down, take any boys who were teenagers off into forced conscription into the army, and just rampage through the countryside. This is about the refugees from that war. Now, that sounds really depressing, I know. But this is one of the more uplifting movies you're going to see, because it's not entirely about what happens in the Sudan. The first 30 or 40 minutes of the movie do take place there. And you see these thugs come through and burn a village and kill the people. And a bunch of kids escape from the village, and they now have no adults, and they have no place to live. And so the oldest of them, a boy by the name of Theo, starts leading them just walking to essentially try to go to the next country over, which is Ethiopia. And they walk for hundreds of miles. Hmm. Hundreds, walking hundreds of miles with no supplies and just literally the clothes on their back. At one point, they actually meet a line of other people who are walking the other way. And they go up to them and say, why are you walking this way? Ethiopia is not far there. And the answer is, Ethiopia is closed. They're not letting anybody from the Sudan come through here. So they have to turn around and walk with these people back the other way, hundreds of miles. Now imagine if your car breaks down at work and you have to walk home. You'd probably consider that one of the worst days of your year. These kids walk, and the adults who were walking too, hundreds of miles because there's no place to go. And by the way, along the way, you may be killed by marauding bands of these military thugs who have taken over the country.
And you said uplifting.
I'm not to the uplifting part yet. So Theo and his two younger brothers and younger sister and two very good friends of theirs, they're walking amongst them. And along the way, something happens, and Theo gets caught by some soldiers and taken off and forced to serve in the military. The rest of them who have been hiding, and so the next oldest brother kind of takes over and helps the rest of them get to Kenya, where they go to a refugee camp in a town of Kakuma, the Kakuma refugee camp, which was a real place. and they are there for 13 years. They grow up from being little kids to being adults, teenagers in their late teens, early 20s. After 13 years, they get chosen by some faith-based group and the United States government on a rescue mission for these refugees. They're allowing some of them to come to the United States. And they get scattered to various parts of the United States. Fargo, Boston. Some came to St. Louis. Some went to Kansas City. These people were chosen to go to Kansas City, except the girl amongst them wasn't allowed to go with them because there was no host family that would take her, and they couldn't, the government refused to put a single African woman in with the rest of the men or with a host family, or so she had to go to Boston. So the family was separated. And the rest of the movie, this is where Reese Witherspoon comes in. She plays a woman who works for an employment agency in Kansas City who is told, go to the airport, pick these people up, we're going to help them get jobs. And so she's not the blonde Reese Witherspoon. She's brunette, and she's kind of serious, and you know, not she doesn't have the best life of her own, but she goes and kind of gets caught up in their story and tries to help them find jobs. Her boss is played by Corey Stoll, who's been in a bunch of movies, including This Is Where I Leave You, which I talked about 2 weeks ago. They are both very, very good. But the stars of this movie are absolutely the actors who play the refugees from Sudan, who we find out at the end of the movie. And stick around for the end credits if you go see this movie. We find out that all these actors are refugees from Sudan.
Wow.
It's like the pirates in Captain Phillips, who actually were Somalians who had gotten out of there because of piracy and had come to the United States. And one of them was, I think the guy got nominated for an Academy Award. He was a cabbie in Minneapolis, right? Mm-hmm. Same kind of situation here. They're all very, very good. It is a uplifting, it's the most moving story and most moving movie I've seen this year. There are a few cliche things. You know, once they come to America, you get a little bit of that fish-out-of-water comedy. They don't know what a telephone is. They can't believe how many different kinds of cereal there are in the supermarkets and all of those various things. But the humanity that they have and the way they are so resolute to survive after walking their entire country to try to find a place where they could just be free and live and find food and shelter and all that sort of stuff. It is a wonderful, wonderful story. It's called The Good Lie. I give it an 8 out of 10. This was a pretty good week for movies for me.
Yeah, really was. Nice rebound from Equalizer last week.
Yes, absolutely. So let's take a break, and then when we come back, I've talked about how if you pay attention to this show, you'll hear about things that you probably didn't even know about. And I learn about stuff from my colleagues here about things that I didn't know were out there. Last week, I talked about how Colin had told me about this movie, Rob the Mob, that was made, a handful of years ago, and turned out to be terrific. When we come back, Ian recommended something to me, a documentary that I watched this week, which we're going to talk about at length right after this break on the Big 550 KTRS.
And Tim Weiland's going to talk about some traffic right now. Here he is, Tim.
All right, Dan, if you're traveling on eastbound 40 trying to get out of town here, you're going to jam up from about Grand up to the Poplar Street Bridge, and it stays slow on eastbound 5564 all the way to the 70 split. Then on westbound 70, we're running heavy from Highway 170 out past the airport. We're slow again from St. Charles Rock Road, and you'll find slow stretches all the way out through 370. Speaking of 370, westbound 370 still is shut down with an overturned tractor trailer ramping onto westbound 70. It looks like we're backed up to Spencer. Folks are having to detour or take the eastbound exit, and that's causing a little backup to Cave Springs. Now on westbound 40, Kings Highway through McCausland, a bit heavy from 270 through Mesa. Now we've got some stop-and-go traffic from Long Road to the Boone Bridge and from Highway 94 out through Wing Haven. Southbound 270, a few little slow pockets from Page down through Doherty Ferry. And this traffic report brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Wondering if your battery is on its way out? Stop by Advance, and they'll test it for you free of charge at Advance Auto Parts. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi, I'm Dave Schumacher.
Hi, everybody. McGraw Millhaven.
Hi, I'm Martin Kilcoyne.
Hi, this is Randy Naughton.
Hey, it's John Carney.
Hi, I'm Kara Sneed.
Hi there, it's Frank O'Pinion.
Hi, I'm Dan Strauss.
This is Laurie Connors.
Hi, folks, it's John Shea.
Hi, I'm Jim McMillan.
The names you grew up with and went to school with. Now they're on your trusted, locally owned, locally operated radio station. The Big 550 KTRS.
Think about the conversation you had with your financial advisor and how that made you feel knowing you had everything taken care of. You know exactly what strategy to use to claim your Social Security. You understand how and when to withdraw your assets and from what accounts you should withdraw from first. You are 100% confident that you are always going to pay the least amount of money in taxes. The chances are you probably never had that conversation, and there's a high probability that you probably won't. Don't you think you owe it to yourself to make sure you've done everything right? If you're within 5 years of retirement or already retired with at least $250,000 of investable assets, call me, Kevin Lloyd, president of Legacy Wealth Advisors and co-host of America's Wealth Management Show, for a complimentary retirement analysis. 314-641-1010. For a complimentary retirement analysis, call 314-641-1010.
Securities offered through First Allied Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
I got the hose, a mop, and what do you call this thing?
A ladder.
George wants to clean the ugly black algae streaks from his roof by himself.
Are you sure about this? You want to call Roof Renewal Systems.
No problem.
Unfortunately, George's 8-foot stepladder doesn't quite reach their 12-foot roof.
So what are you going to do, George? Fly the rest of the way?
No problem.
George is in a pickle, since he's not exactly Superman.
You're not Superman, George. We ought to call Roof Renewal Systems.
No problem. Whoa! Ow!
Don't try to save a couple of bucks by cleaning the algae off your roof yourself. Call Roof Renewal Systems at 855-411-WASH. Their proprietary cleaning solution kills the algae, followed by a rinse with their low-pressure soft-washing system, so the granules stay on the shingles. Algae could be killing your roof, leading to discoloration, and worse yet, leaks, before...
No problem.
...becomes a big problem. Call Roof Renewal Systems toll-free at 855-411-WASH. That's 855-411-9274, and get years of life added to your roof.
You should have called Roof Renewal Systems.
Online at roofrenewalsystems.com.
Gentlemen over 40, may I have your attention, please? If you'd like to improve your performance in the bedroom, we need your help. We're the makers of Peak Nitric Oxide, and we have too much product and too few callers in our nationwide free bottle giveaway. If you want a free supplement to improve your performance in the bedroom, call now, 1-800-616-4026. In a Nobel Prize-winning discovery, nitric oxide was found to turbo-boost the virility of men over 40. Not only that, nitric oxide also enhances muscle growth and provides miraculous benefits for your heart health, blood pressure, energy levels, and your immune system. But scientific news is slow to spread, so we have too many bottles of Peak Nitric Oxide still available in our nationwide giveaway. If you'd like to enhance your bedroom performance and enjoy a host of other health benefits, a free bottle of Peak Nitric Oxide is yours. Discover how at 1-800-616-4026. We'll even send free test strips proving it works. 1-800-616-4026.
The most important purchase you make is a home, and the most important person you need to talk to and hire is a real estate agent. The best in the St. Louis metropolitan area for the last 17 years, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Big Group. How's the market?
The market is hot, McGraw. It is not just a buyer's market anymore. It is a perfect storm for buyers and sellers.
So because that's going on, what does that mean for the homeowner or the home seller?
Home prices have raised almost 8% in the last year, but interest rates are still historically low. So it's a great time to buy and sell.
Many people think they can do this themselves.
They think they can. There's so much more than just putting a sign in the yard. So call us. We'll stage your home. We'll give you an evaluation, and we'll give you the up-to-date market analysis, as well as the 500 other things that go on with selling real estate.
That's 17-year full-time producer, realtor, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. She's a real estate expert, and she's on KSDK Channel 5, and she's here with us on the Big 550 KTRS, 314-726-SOLD, or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
You need a website. Why not do it yourself? You know your business. With Wix.com, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. With Wix.com, you don't need to be a programmer. Just use the intuitive drag-and-drop website builder. There's no limit to how creative you can be. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Create your own stunning website today. Go to Wix.com. It's easy and free.
Baseball is the American pastime, and owning a new home is the American dream. I'm Tom Hughes with T.R. Hughes Homes, and we're proud to help sponsor Championship Baseball Fever in St. Louis. We're also very proud to help families achieve the American dream. With our Red October sale, save thousands on any new T.R. Hughes home in any of our St. Charles communities. Buy with no money down at Riverdale and let Gershman Mortgage help with the financing and closing costs. Hit a home run and achieve the American dream at trhughes.com.
Gershman Mortgage, NMLS number 1380-60.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
You cannot say that on the radio.
Sookie.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Oric. All over the St. Louis area with great vacuum cleaners and other home cleaning stuff for you, including the new Oric Magnesium RS vacuum cleaner. O-R-E-C-K spells Oric. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Colin's here as well. We're talking about movies. I mentioned before the break that sometimes I get great tips on things to check out from this segment of the show every Friday. Colin recommended a movie called Rob the Mob. And this week, Ian recommended to me a documentary about the TV show Saturday Night Live, which was directed by James Franco 6 years ago when he was a grad student at NYU. You want to talk about it a little bit?
No, go ahead. I'd love to hear your take on it.
I've been fascinated by SNL ever since it went on the air. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked with Jim Miller, who's written a book about it and updated the book. It's called Live from Saturday Night, Live from New York at Saturday Night. And I was interested in seeing how this thing is put together behind the scenes, because I kind of knew how it worked. But in the movie, he goes day by day from Monday through Saturday of a week of on the show. It happened to be a week that John Malkovich was the host. And I like John Malkovich. He's a pretty good guy, and he can do comedy as well as drama, and he's pretty good. The problem with watching this documentary is that the show that they put together was spectacularly lame. It was Bill Hader sketches that were not funny. It was interviews with people behind the scenes who were not funny. There's stuff with Fred Armisen that is not funny. And repeatedly, I kept thinking, why is this show still on the air? This documentary is a great explanation for why SNL continues to suck.
Yeah, did you even remember that I had to find out what her name later was? Casey Wilson, I think. She was on for a season or two. Did you even remember her being on the show?
I did not, but she's in this movie, The Good Lie. I recognized her in the movie last night. I said, who is that? And I went, I looked, and that's when I felt, oh, she was on SNL. I didn't know that.
And so it's weird seeing people that you have no, and it was only six years ago, but you have no recollection of. And I sent you a text about that. Around that time, 2008, was when that show started becoming more misses than hits.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And the one thing I took away was, it's not as glamorous a job as you think it is. I mean, these are people who you think, oh, they're in Hollywood, they're TV stars and this and that. And then you see them staying up till 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning these small cramped offices in a high rise.
Right. Well, one thing that you do get from the movie, from the documentary, is how difficult it is to come up with 90 minutes of new material every week. But then again, I think to myself, okay, well, while we're not doing skits and sketches and characters, you know, you guys with Frank do it 4 days a week. I used to do it 5 days a week, doing three, sometimes 4 hours a day of essentially ad-libbed radio. There are sitcoms that are on the air that they have to come up with a new show every week. The people on that show, there's no one person who themselves has to come up with, I got to write 90 minutes of material. No, you got to come up with a sketch or two for the show, and then you might have to act in other people's sketches.
For the first part, though, because they say 9 sketches make the final show.
Right.
But
They write
50, so.
Which makes me realize, how bad must those sketches be that got rejected?
That's what I would have liked to have seen.
Those other 40 sketches must really suck if this is what you're ending up with again. Woohoo! That's our A material.
Did you ever see Seth Meyers early on had on a few of his
SNL alums, and they did. They put on sketches that they were very passionate about that never made it to air. They're all on YouTube, all the clips. Some of them were actually kind of funny, I thought. But
Nothing on this show. Did you think any sketch that they did, even the one that didn't get on the show, did you think to yourself, wow, that was really funny?
No.
I didn't laugh once.
And did Lorne Michaels have the final say on which sketch goes
he
on?
He and his producers. Here's how the week goes.
On Monday, they meet the new host for that week, in this case, John Malkovich. They have a pitch meeting where the various people come in. Okay, I have an idea about doing this. Okay, I have an idea about doing that. And the host always laughs at whatever the idea is. Mm-hmm. But you know that there are times Malkovich must be thinking, that is so stupid. I hope we don't do that.
I don't want to do that.
I did find that interesting, though, when Will Forte later, he's talking about the pitch meeting. And he said, half of that stuff is just BS people are throwing out. Because any good sketches, you're not going to ruin the joke of the sketch by saying it during the meeting. You know, it's just going to be an idea or a premise. But, yeah. So he said half of that is just BS.
So that's Monday. And then on Tuesday, I guess they come in late in the day. It's writing day. And they start writing the sketches, not just the actors, but the writers on the show. And there are like 18 of them on that show. And they spend the whole night writing. And when I say the whole night, Ian just said, you know, they're there until 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. They write through the night. Mm. I will tell you, having been under the pressure to try to come up with material for various projects in my career, you don't come up with your best stuff at 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning unless you woke up at 4.
Yeah, especially when you're really tired. Ugh.
If you've been going from the previous night and you've been eating whatever food, junky kind of stuff they've been delivering to the office, you're not coming up with the best stuff. And Seth Meyers at one point, he was the head writer on the show at the time, and I've never been a fan of his. So, yeah. And he's not funny in the movie either. At one point, he says, I just need to rest for a half hour. No, you need to rest for like a month.
Yes.
Because the stuff that you're writing here and the stuff that other people are writing that you are then helping to rewrite, you're still not making it good because you're completely exhausted. Your brain is spent. And then they go home for a couple hours, and they come back on Wednesday, and the producers go through the 50 sketches or so and decide which 9 are going to be on. And, okay, now they have to build the sets and the costumes. This is the
part. No, they do the table read first, where they read all 50 sketches.
Oh, that's right.
So the cast is around a huge table with John Malkovich and Lorne Michaels and all the writers and everybody. They're all sitting in this giant boardroom.
Yes.
And they read all 50 sketches. They act them out. They have scripts printed out where,
And by the way, I can tell you this about that part of it. Everybody is reading from a script. So nobody's actually looking at their fellow performers. When you're doing comedy, if everybody else is reading along with you, it's never going to be as good as it would be if they just watched you do it as if you were making it up right then and there.
Right.
But no,
they're all flipping pages.
Yeah, they're looking down and flipping through the pages, and people who aren't in the sketches, you know, they're thinking, come on, get through this and get to mine so I can do my pitch. Also, how would you like to be the person who has to have their sketch read 48th? Out of 50.
No.
You've been in there for 3.5 hours already. Okay, Casey, what's your sketch about? And she does one. Was it hers that was the complete bomb, or was it somebody else?
It was some Broadway play or something. It was
something about Bob
Fosse.
All that jazz. Yeah, and it was terrible. And she talked later in the documentary about how she knew she was bombing. But you can't stop your read through. You got to go through the whole thing. And she realizes, I'm dying right now. I'm dying inside, and I'm dying outside in front of all these people. So, I mean, that part of the movie is interesting, and I'm still fascinated by the process. And then, again, that's when, after they pick the 9 that they're going to do after that reading, then, you know, the costume people and the hair and makeup people and the construction people have to build the sets. They have to go through all of that, and they have essentially 72 hours to put together what the show is going to be. And then there are rehearsals on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and they're writing Weekend Update and all that. And you see all that behind the scenes. I found that part of it interesting.
Yes, all the behind that. Yeah, absolutely.
But the most interesting part was, in the end, they came up with a giant turd of a show.
Oh, it's a shame.
And it is just proof that coming up with new material every week, A, is incredibly tough, and B, the all-nighter, just like it never worked for anybody who went to college and tried, well, I got an exam at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll just stay up all night and study. Nope, bad idea. Bad idea. You're burnt out and you can't do anything interesting.
Did you ever see the Aaron Sorkin show, Studio 60, on the Sunset Strip?
Yes.
Yeah, this sort of sounds like a much more realistic.
Remember how bad those sketches were
on
that show?
They were awful.
Because Aaron Sorkin can't write comedy?
No.
Well, this is like 11 Aaron Sorkins in a room. Now, I want to tell you that the movie is not available on DVD. Ian had to tell me, no, it's only available on Hulu Plus. And I said, what is Hulu Plus? So give our audience the way to watch this that you told me.
Well, Hulu is another option like Netflix, any of those on demand.
It's more like YouTube. Hulu and YouTube both show video.
Right, yeah. And there's a free version of Hulu where you can go watch. Some TV shows are free in that, but they have a Plus version, which is a subscription where you have access to their entire library.
Yes.
And you can sign up for that's what I did. I signed up. They have a free week trial.
Yeah. When Ian told me about this and I saw it was only on Hulu Plus, I knew, because I've known Ian for a long time, I know Ian did not pay $7.99 a month to get to watch this one movie.
No.
So,
yes, they have a free week trial you can sign up for and watch it that way.
You have to give them your credit card information.
And then make sure you cancel, If you're not happy with their services after the week, then...
after the week?
after the one night.
The documentary ended, I turned off the TV, I went to my computer, canceled. I canceled. I was a member of Hulu Plus for 2 hours. That was it. And by the way, I love at the end when you cancel, would you mind sharing with us the reason you're canceling? I did not write in there, because I'm not going to pay for this service. The movie is called Saturday Night. It was made by James Franco. And
what is he not doing?
I don't know.
He's getting like two PhDs acting.
Speaking of streaming stuff, I wanted to ask you about a story I saw this week, Colin, about Netflix making a deal with Adam Sandler for his next four movies. What is this?
Well, so this comes on the heels. I was talking with Frank about it on Tuesday, on the heels that they are going to make a sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. So that was announced earlier this week.
And that's going to not only be on Netflix, but they're going to put it in IMAX movies, except that a lot of the companies that run the IMAX movies are saying, wait a second, people can watch it the same day on their TVs as they can get it from our theaters?
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing that.
AMC, they are really not pleased about this.
Okay.
So this is their next step towards producing even more original content. And say what you will about Adam Sandler movies of the last, I don't know,
if there's one person who stands for original content, it's Adam Sandler.
But I mean, they make money. Even Jack and Jill, that awful movie in which he played his own sister, I think that still made like $40 million.
What about
the
one he
did
with Drew Barrymore a couple of months ago, like their fifth movie together? Did that make money?
It didn't make as much as they wanted, but yes, it made money. He is, I mean, $3 billion in box office receipts, more than $3 billion.
Well, let me ask you about what this means for Adam Sandler's career. Because, Netflix is certainly helping Kevin Spacey's career with House of Cards, and that got nominated for all sorts of Emmys and brought a lot of prestige with it. But if Adam Sandler has to make a deal with Netflix to do movies that are going to stream on TV, isn't that essentially saying, well, his big screen movie career is over?
No, because Adam Sandler has his own production company. So at this point, Adam Sandler just wants to put as many things out there as he can, because Happy Madison, that produces and helps distribute essentially all of his films, is him and another guy, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets all the money. This is more of a Netflix saying, we need you. And the reason is Netflix gets instant feedback on what people are watching. They know, they could say right now, they could go press a button and see what every person's watching, essentially.
Yeah.
They know people watch Adam Sandler movies. They know people that watch Adam Sandler movies on Netflix watch them more than once.
Mm.
So they say, let's do this. What it remains to be seen is Adam Sandler a draw to bring more people. House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, those have encouraged people to sign up.
Yeah.
Will Adam Sandler's Jack and Jill 2 or, Flubber remade for the third time, I'm just picking whatever, will this draw people?
Well, I will tell you, as a person who has had Netflix for over 10 years, I'm probably dropping it now that Adam Sandler's going to be on there.
But this is still, this is Netflix trying to say, we're going to start to compete with... movie theaters. That's a big thing.
Wow.
But there
you go, Colin.
Paul.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Colin Jeffrey heading back now to the newsroom to do an update for us at the top of the hour, which will follow this check of the roads.
Meep, meep.
And here we have it with Tim Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dan. Well, they're still working with that. They've got the truck right it now. It's off on the right shoulder, but they still have the ramp shut down from westbound 370 onto westbound 70. You're backed up now midway between Truman and Spencer, and folks are having to exit onto the eastbound 70 line way unless you get off at Spencer and then take the Salt River Road. Also, we have southbound 170 stacking up, approaching Olive down through Highway 40. Long stretches of slow traffic on southbound 270, and it goes from from Page all the way out to Graboy. Westbound 44, you're stacked up now from the Merrimack River Bridge to Bowles. And on westbound 70, look for a slow stretch. It starts from Highway 170 all the way out through 370. This traffic report brought to you by Tomcat. It's fall. The rodent control experts at Tomcat call it rodent season. Be ready with Tomcat's full line of effective rodent baits and traps to fit your household preferences and your needs. Visit Tomcat.com or get them today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Live from downtown St. Louis, it's the Bill Cleveland segment starring Bill Cleveland along with Bruce Limprist and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM in the PM cab company, 314-652-3456, or download their free app, STL Taxi. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
Hi, everybody. Good Friday afternoon. Well, Matthew McConaughey gave a pep talk to the Texas Longhorns football team the other day, which explains why moments later the team ran on the field without their shirts on. And the outgoing head of the Secret Service once told her employees that the Secret Service needs to be more like Disney World, which explains why they changed the name for Joe Biden to Dumbo. Uh-huh. Disney World related. Lawyers for the royal family are going after photographers that get too close to the royal baby Prince George. They've argued that the family needs to be able to live a normal life like everyone else.
Yeah.
And they said, now, if you'll excuse me, we have to get back to not working for a living.
In our castle.
I like that.
And finally, this afternoon. Well, Justin Bieber was apparently caught on camera the other day punching someone in public. And the Bay, out of habit, Roger Goodell said he didn't know anything about that tape. Didn't see it. The Bill Cleveland segment is brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab. They are, of course, the AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown St. Louis, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Have a good weekend, and for goodness sake, remain Ebola free if you can.
Will do. See ya.
All right. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the Harris Challenge, which means you have 15 minutes to go now and study everything that happened this week, because it'll come up in some of the trivia questions in the challenge today. And then we'll have Mike Evans from Hollywood and today's batch of knuckles.